So I'm going to set the scene. This is the scene. For the last few weeks, we've been looking at Acts. You may not have realized, but we've been going through the book of Acts, and we've been taking out little bits from the book of Acts. And we've met some characters in the Bible, in the book of Acts, and we've heard of miraculous events. And into this story, we've also seen Paul. And today we're going to be thinking a little bit more about Paul. Okay. Now, Paul is the one who is responsible, if you like, for the majority of the letters that we have in the New Testament. So he's important. He wrote to the churches, and what he said, we hold on to this day and use as our scriptures. So some of our scriptures, not all of them. So we meet Paul. He started off hating the people who called themselves Christians, i.e. those who said that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior. He died and he had risen. And Paul started off hating them. In fact, he went round persecuting them, trying to kill them all. And then on a journey to Damascus, when he was going to go and arrest a few more of these people, God met him in a very special way. And when God meets people, they change. And for Paul, Paul was changed out of every recognition that you would have seen of him before. And now we look at him, and we're looking at Acts chapter 16. And in Acts 16, Paul has a dilemma. And I've got a map, hopefully, that I can show you so that we get an idea of what's going on here. Okay. So, Paul wanted to know where to go. Okay. There'd been a big meeting, and I think you heard about that last week, Council of Jerusalem, where he'd been back in Jerusalem for that, and then letters had gone out about that to the churches that he'd established on his first trip. And after a while, he said to Barnabas, who he'd went to with on the first trip, I think it would be good if we go back. And Barnabas said, yeah, great, that sounds like a great idea. And then they had an argument. It was a bit more than an argument, it was a real argument and a half, because Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him. Now, John Mark was his cousin. And in the time before, on that first journey, John Mark had gone for away with them, and then he'd given up. It was a bit too much, and he'd left. And so Paul had said, no, I don't think it would be wise. Now, as I say, they had a massive argument. Have you ever argued with someone? Yeah? At school? Have you had arguments at school? Yeah. I know. Have a think about that. Maybe sometimes we've even had arguments in church. It happens, sadly, but it happens. How does it make you feel when you have an argument?
Not very nice.
Not very nice, is it? Yeah. Some people, do they go, ha, scored one over you? Some do. But actually, at the end of the day, an argument doesn't leave us feeling very good, does it? Have a think about the argument that you've had with the person that you've had it with. Has it been resolved? Are you friends again? And if you are, has the friendship been made the same as it was before? Or is it a bit prickly? Yeah? Well, for Paul and Barnabas, I've no idea whether that friendship was the same as it was before, except that I do know that a friendship was healed because in scriptures, and you, as you go on into the letters, Paul mentions Barnabas, and it sounds as though they've got a good friendship again. But what I do know from this is that Paul and Barnabas never went on another journey together. And so that's quite interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes you can still remain friends, but you need to know that maybe some of the things you did, you don't do again together. And that's all right. That's okay. That's fine. The important thing is that you remain friends. Scripture says, as far as it's possible for us, live at peace with everyone. So we can't do anything about the other person, but we can do something about our attitudes. And I guess that's what both Paul and Barnabas did. And who am I? I mean, I suspect that they had a very good friendship in later times. So they went their separate ways. Paul took another guy with him called Silas. And they started going on this trip. So you see the first Antioch. Now there's two Antiochs. So you see where Jerusalem is at the bottom. There's Caesarea, Antioch. And then they decided, Paul and Silas, to go to Derbe and then Lystra. And whilst they were in Lystra, they met up with a guy called Timothy. Now, you'll know Timothy because Timothy, there's a book about him in the New Testament. In fact, there's two books. And Timothy joined them around the Lystra time. And then they were going to go, they thought they'd go, you see where the next Antioch is? They decided they might go up into that area up there, which is Turkey, West Turkey nowadays. And that didn't seem right somehow. They said that God told them, no, that wasn't right. So then they thought, all right, well, they'll go into the area of sort of around Troas, Ephesus way, around there. And that didn't seem right either. They got stopped from that. So they were left thinking, now what do we do? They got stopped. Jenny's going to do our reading for us. Okay. Now, just to let you know that there is no junior church today. So you've got me, and I do apologise. So I've put it down into a couple of little bite-sized pieces, hopefully. But firstly, I've got something that I wanted to share with you on this. Ah. Okay. I'm no good with technology. I really have no idea what I'm doing with these things. But I know that you guys, being as you know, the teenagers of your time, you know what to do with it. So, Beatrice, do us a favour. Will you get me into that? Because I can't get into it. I've tried, but I can't. It's no good to me. Yeah, would you mind?
Are you sure it's charged?
I think I charged it. Oh, okay. Does that mean it was off?
Yes.
Thank you. It was off. Oh. Well, thank you so much. I'm really grateful to you. So you can see I'm useless, absolutely useless. And obviously I didn't even realise that my phone was off. Well, I give up on that one then. Just grateful to you, Beatrice, for doing that for me. It wasn't even turned on. Do you know what? We won't get anywhere unless we're in standby mode. And my phone wasn't in standby mode. So we won't get anywhere unless we're in standby mode, ready and waiting for whatever's going to happen. Opportunities come mostly to those who are already serving or doing something, okay? Not to those who are sitting back doing nothing, by and large. You have to be ready and in standby mode in order to be in a position to be able to be offered to do something else, yeah? That's how it works, doesn't it, really? And that's why we've done a whole series this year on serving one another, because that's about getting us ready, giving us opportunities, putting us in standby mode so that we can serve one another and serve God. Now, the call to Macedonia that Paul had earlier on came when they were actively serving the Lord. They already were going around. They wanted to meet up with people. They wanted to share what God had told them. But they weren't in the right place. So in this case, it's not a call to Paul to begin something new, but it was just a clarification of the direction that they had to go in. And sometimes, you know, that's exactly what happens to us. We're doing something, we're in the right, well, we're thinking we're doing the right things, we're just not doing them in the right places. And sometimes we have to just be in standby mode, ready and waiting to hear what God has to say. If you sit in a car and you turn the steering wheel, what's going to happen? Yeah, the wheels might turn, but will you get anywhere? Not unless you turn that engine on. So you can turn the wheel, but unless that... Well, you can't even turn the wheel nowadays, can you? Because yeah, that shows my age. So you're in standby mode. You can't get anywhere. Not only have you got to turn the car on, the gas on, but you've got to put your foot on the accelerator, otherwise you won't go anywhere. Right. Oh, right. Okay. There are certain things that you do have to do in order to get that car moving. Start doing something to serve God, and He will redirect you if He needs to. All right? There's no point us sitting in a car telling it to go somewhere, because it ain't going to go. We have to be prepared and ready, and then God will tell us where to go. And if He needs to redirect us, trust me, He will. Sometimes God leads us to the right opportunities by hindering us from the wrong ones. Wow. Sometimes that happens. So, Paul and Silas and Timothy, they were hindered from going into Asia, West Turkey. So they decided to go to Bithynia near the Black Sea. Now, the Black Sea, if you just think in terms of what's happening in Ukraine at the moment and all that's happening around that Black Sea area, that's where they wanted to go. But they were prevented from going there as well. I wonder how the Holy Spirit stopped them. Have you ever thought about that? They were prevented from going. That's all it says. How do you think the Holy Spirit might have stopped them? Any thoughts? How does God stop us sometimes from doing something? Bad weather sometimes. See, yeah, it can sometimes. It maybe stops us. Yeah. 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 Need a camel. The car won't start. Yeah, sometimes I have known that. I have known a situation where I was standing at the wrong bus stop waiting for a bus and saw it, and I was on the wrong side of the road. And that, I missed that bus. It stopped me from going to church. But it actually meant that I met my future husband, because I went to the church across the road. Instead, you know, there are times when God sets us on paths, if you like. Now, we're told at this stage that another guy joined them. He was Luke. Now, Luke we know of because he was the one who wrote the Gospel of Acts, the Book of Acts, okay? And he also wrote Luke, okay? Now, we know he joined them because if you read it, it's really interesting because... Instead of it, suddenly it becomes we. And Luke includes himself in the storyline. And so there's four of them at this stage. Now, Luke, being a doctor, was it that Paul was poorly? We know he had a problem at times. Did Luke join him to help him? Because we don't know. But it might have been that Paul wasn't well enough to move on. Sometimes that happens to us. Did the Spirit speak in a dream? Maybe. I suspect, have we, any of us here, had dreams and thought in terms of, wow, this is what, you know, God is saying something in this. I've known people who've had dreams. Maybe the Spirit was an audible voice. God suddenly said, no. Ever had that? Maybe it was just through the circumstances at the moment. Car wouldn't start. No camels. Maybe there was just a lack of peace. Sometimes that happens, doesn't it? You just know it's not right to go in that direction. Basically, we don't know. But the question I ask you is, how do you know when God is telling you something? How do you know? Now, how did they just know that this was from God and it needed to be obeyed? Because, you know, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says quite clearly that Satan hindered him from going to revisit the Thessalonian church. And yet here, Paul is saying quite specifically, God is preventing them from going to the places they were hoping to visit. So, interesting, isn't it? We need to know and be able to discern what is from God and what isn't. Sometimes it's us, sometimes it's more than us. We need to be able to discern. Ask the Lord for a spirit of discernment, especially as we move forward here in Stand Ground. No, I was going to tell you a story. But I'm not going to. No. Instead, we're going to sing. So, God has sent a vision, if you like, a dream to Paul. Come over to Macedonia and help us, was what he said in this. And from that, Paul thinks, yeah, okay, this sounds pretty good. This is what I've been waiting for. Now, I think that God showing us the right opportunities is normally something that is revealed. It's progressive. It happens slowly. Rarely does he give us the whole picture. And he didn't hear for Paul. Just come over here. Come over to Macedonia and help us, is what he saw. Paul could have said, okay, but where specifically, Lord? Macedonia's a huge place. It's northern Greece, by the way, okay, nowadays. But it's a huge place. Whereabouts do I go here, Lord? Unless you show me the route, I won't even bother to start because, you know, I need to know where I'm going, don't I? No. No. He just goes. And God drip feeds us sometimes. In fact, I think most times God drip feed stuff to us, revealing the next bit as we get to each turning. Okay? So don't look for the big picture. And I would say to us as church here, as we are looking for the next steps, as we go on that course on that Saturday, don't look for a big picture. Look to see what God is saying to us for the next bit of our journey. Okay, that's where I'm coming from. In our last prayer meeting, lots of things were said that we believed God was saying to us. And you'll see some of them I've tried to distill down into our newsletter. But quite specifically, I heard this conversation in my head going between me and God. God said to me, "Are you prepared?" And I said, "I've no idea, Lord. What am I supposed to be prepared for?" And I heard God say, "For me to move." Whoa. Well, that's even harder, Lord, because I've no idea what you mean by "for you to move." I don't know whether I'm prepared or not. How are you going to move? And God very specifically said to me, do not bother yourself with the how I'm going to do it. Just be prepared. And that seems to me, as I was studying for looking at this bit of Acts 16, that's exactly what God does. Don't worry ourselves with the how. Just get on. Just be there. Just be prepared. Theologian Stephen Cole says this: usually, knowing God's will is like driving in fog. God just gives us enough light to see the next few feet. And as we follow, he gives us the light we need to keep moving ahead. I don't know about you in life, but that's exactly how things have been for us in life and how God has slowly revealed stuff to us. So think it like it driving in fog. He's going to protect us. He's the one driving us. We might have our hands on the wheel, but he's the one in charge. And he shows us just enough light to keep us in the right place. When God does reveal his will, though, make sure it is from God. And then be quick to obey. Be quick to obey. Now, in verse 10 here of Acts 16, Paul says, Paul had a vision, and then in verse 10 he said, so we decided, the first we, so Luke's there, we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, for we could only conclude, now that's a really important word, that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Conclude. What does conclude mean? Well, it means to join or knit together, united. So what Paul did was he got the fellas together in the morning and say, guys, I've had a vision. I had this vision, and in it, there was a man standing there in Macedonia, and this guy said, come over here and help us. What do you think? And in discussing it with one another, they then got to the point of saying, yeah, this is right, isn't it? This feels right. This is what we've got to do. That's the reason why we need to pray together. That's the reason why we need to meet together. That's the reason why we need to talk to one another, because then does it feel right with God? It all came together as they talked it through. And once they were sure that no more time was wasted, they immediately set out, leaving for northern Greece, Macedonia. Now, it's quite interesting that although they were obeying God, it didn't quite work out as the vision had shown them. Paul saw a man in the vision come over and help us. And when they got there, the very first encounter they had with folk in Macedonia, in Greece at that stage, were a group of women working by the riverside. And one of those women became the first convert. That was Lydia. She was a very important person and became the focus of the new faith in that area. Can you imagine if Paul had said, there's only women here. I saw a man in my vision. I obviously don't need to talk to this lot because I've got to wait for the right thing at the right time. Can you imagine? Lydia wouldn't have known at that stage. What I think we learn from that is that when there is an opportunity and when you recognize that God gives it to you, whether it's quite within the guidelines of that vision or not, go for it anyway. Just go for it, you know. Speak to whoever's there at that time. God used them to start that church in Europe. And it's the first time that the word, as far as we're aware, was moved into Europe, other than maybe on the day of Pentecost when people were gathered in Jerusalem and then moved out into the area around. You see, they needed help They needed help. We can feed people today. We can give them homes. We can clothe people. But if we miss out on helping them to see their spiritual needs, then we've only done half a job. And I would say, not the most important half of the job. Of course, it's important to feed people now. But it's also important for people to know that they're spiritually, they have a home to go to. So if we see someone fall down in the street, we go to help, don't we? And if we can't help, then we find someone who can. We might use our phone to ring the ambulance. We could carry shopping home for them, etc., etc. And I'll leave you with this. What about the cries of the lost? What about the cries of the lost? Because they're out there, you know, more, far more than we think. I'll leave you with Romans chapter 10 and verses 13 to 15, which is Paul, again, saying, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And that is what the scripture means when it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Did you know that your feet are absolutely beautiful? You might not think it, but your feet are beautiful. Why? Because you can be and are used to show others and tell others about Jesus. That's what we're here for. That's what we're gathered to do. That and to glorify God. Let's pray.